Good day. We are here today to discuss the current political situation in the country. We are talking to Ray Hartley, who is the Business Live editor, and Natasha Marion, who is the political editor of Business Day. This is quite a dramatic week in South African politics. We couldn't have scripted what is happening. And the reason we are here was because of the emergency meeting of the National Working Committee last night. Natasha, just tell us what is basically the outcome of that committee meeting.
Well, the NWC basically have called a special NEC meeting. The NWC, as we know, can't take decisions. So they've literally thrown the baton over to the NEC to effect that the decision that Zuma should be recalled from office. And that meeting will take place Wednesday night.
Ray, the NEC has the powers to recall, first and foremost. So this cannot, although it's a special meeting, it cannot just be a meeting to endorse the State of the Nation address, can it?
No, it can't. I think Zuma supporters will try and make it into that meeting. But clearly the agenda, the reason for having it on Wednesday, the day before the State of the Nation address, has got to be to deal with the Zuma problem.
Now, Natasha, the president is, in the meantime, has been quite defiant. He's had a meeting with the top six on Sunday night. He had a meeting with King Goodwill Solutini on Monday. What's in his mind at this moment? The messaging that we've been receiving, the information we've been receiving, is that he's been pretty defiant. But now we've told that he's called an emergency cabinet meeting. What do you think is going on in his mind right now?
I think he's in a corner. He's definitely in a corner. But we have a president who is, you know, pretty confident that he's done nothing wrong. And he also believes that there's a regime change agenda, which is what he told King Zwelithini yesterday in that very closed meeting. So he's... On the one hand, very paranoid, and on the other, he's in a corner. So that makes him very desperate, and that makes him also pretty, unpredictable. I think we have those cabinet ministers called in today, and I haven't confirmed whether it was a scheduled or unscheduled meeting, but it doesn't sound like it was, since ministers were already at prior arranged events. So it could be that, you know, he's maybe taken the decision to step down by himself, but I have my doubts.
Now, the cabinet normally meets on a Wednesday. You could say that he wants to discuss finer details of the State of the Nation address, or that he is preparing for a change of government. Those are basically the options. But Ray, why is it that President Zuma is so desperate to hold on to the presidency? It's quite clear that the situation in the ANC has changed, that people want him to go, that people believe he's a drag on the ANC right now. Why is he holding on for dear life?
I think he thinks that he can negotiate something. He's always believed that he can get into a discussion of, which would probably involve the criminal charges, which are now really ramping up against him. I mean, while this has been going on, the NPA has found its spine. These charges are back on the table. ESCOM is being raided. Stuff's happening. So the pressure for him to find a way out of sitting in the dock, I think, is huge. And he is probably holding out for that. He probably wrongly believes that he can influence what the NPA does.
On the other hand, Natasha, it seems that the new leadership under Cyril Ramaphosa realizes now that that the president needs to go as soon as possible. But why is there urgency around the State of the Nation address, do you think?
Well, this is the State of the Nation address that's going to set the tone for the ANC's election campaign, because it's a year to the election, and this basically outlines the ANC's priorities in an election year. And as we know, the 2019 election is probably going to be its toughest electoral campaign yet, well, national one. So the ANC has to act now, because if it goes into this election year with a state of the nation delivered by Zuma, you know, it will continue to have that legacy, his legacy, which has hampered it electorally for the last decade. So in my view, the urgency for the ANC is the perceptions around around the party and the brand in the run up to that election, and also the promises made and the very visible cleanup that the new ANC president brought in when he took office. You know, the Eskom board, he came in and almost immediately there were changes, and he's created the perception that there's going to be this renewal and revival. And the longer it lingers, the more the expectations and frustrations will develop. And I think that will impact on the ANC for the better if it keeps the president at the podium during the State of the Nation. There's also the embarrassment of opposition parties, being the representatives of the majority of the people of the country. When they stand up and they say that they're not prepared to listen to Zuma, it's another embarrassment, public embarrassment for the ANC, and it can't afford that in the run-up to next year's election.
Now, Ray, what would have been the impact, you think, of letting President Zuma have one last go at the State of the Nation address, a farewell address, if you like? What would be the impact of the ANC holding off just for this week and then voting him out in the motion of no confidence that's scheduled on February 22nd?
I think it would be a huge blow because there's a positive momentum that's there. You know, you're in your honeymoon period now since December. South Africa is suddenly very forgiving and prepared to accept that there's change in there and things are different and they're moving along. And then there's going to be this nationally televised spectacle, the red overalls being chucked out and screaming, the speaker shouting order, chaos. And it's going to be, hang on, we're still in the same old South Africa after all. It's going to be a huge letdown, I think, because there'll be a massive audience for it to actually see that this is just like last year. Nothing has really changed. Ramaphosa's weak. He's actually not in charge. These guys are still running the show. And, I think it would spike the whole positive vibe that's out there.
But there must be some concern within the ANC that it is now about to recall its second president in a row. What does that say about the ANC's ability to govern? Isn't that a huge concern for the ANC right now?
Yeah, it's this misalignment between the party and the party processes and the electoral processes. So, the party chooses its leader and then there are these 2 years. And if there's a vicious battle over that leadership and the side of the sitting president loses, you have this problem. And that's exactly what happened in the previous instance. And is what might happen in the future unless they actually sort out the alignment between these two processes.
Now, Natasha, do you think that we would have got to the stage we are at where we are looking at the fall of another South African president had the opposition not kept up the pressure? And they have ramped up the pressure in these past few weeks, calling for a postponement, calling the motion of no confidence, and there is the impeachment hearings that are pending. What role do you think that would have played in the ANC decision-making? In other words, would the ANC have come to this point naturally?
I think it would have come to this point naturally, but it was, it is opposition parties that exposed President Jacob Zuma massively. Both the two most damaging cases against Zuma were brought by opposition parties, the EFF with the Nkandla case and the spy tapes case by the DA. So I think opposition parties have the upper hand in that. Like Ray was saying earlier, they've created the perception that they are the ones that have been pushing for this and they are the ones who have effectively saved South Africa from the ANC, from Jacob Zuma. But we're likely to see a shift to the a focus to the ANC as the dust settles after Zuma's removal, because they can all the opposition parties will gain traction from falling back on the fact that the ANC took a decade to act against an errant president, and after many of his mistakes, it took them this long to get there, and it took them a massive electoral weakening in 2016 to get to this point, which the opposition parties did have a hand in as well.
Now, the reason why the president has survived this long and was able to cling on, even when it is clear that the ANC wanted him to go, is because he still has pockets of support at the highest levels of the ANC. And we've seen the ANC Secretary General and Deputy Secretary General, Esma Khashule and Jesse Duarte, expressing their views publicly, contradicting Cyril Ramaphosa on the position of the president. Now, what do you think this, even if the president leaves now, by whatever circumstances, what does this say about the internal cohesion in the top leadership of the ANC?
I don't think it means that all of a sudden we're going to have this happy top six with Ace and Cyril holding hands. It's going to be messy. It's going to continue to be messy. Zuma was always in the departure lounge. He's been in the departure lounge for a long time now, and factions are going to realign. Cyril Ramaphosa and at least two of his top six leaders are clearly at odds, but that's going to deepen as time goes on, and that NEC, I'm not even 100% sure whether they can pull together the numbers to effect a recall. It is that divided. It's a 60-40 split, but who knows how Zuma has been mobilizing behind the scenes till now. So it's going to be a difficult road for the NC even going forward. I mean, Ace Magashule yesterday was called a sellout and a liar by ANC members, which is unprecedented. I mean, the last time we saw anything was like that was Julius Malema against Mantashe I think it was an SACP event. The last time we saw anything similar to that, and we know what happened to Julius Malema. So I think it's going to be really messy going forward. Removing Jacob Zuma is not the end for the ANC. It still has to deal with the organizational mess that it is in. The ANC is still grappling with its schizophrenia between a liberation movement and a modern political party in a constitutional democracy. And it's still going to face those challenges.
Now, Ray, we've lived through a period where one president was recalled, and it was really no fuss around that particular recall. It was fairly simple because President Mbeki agreed to resign, and he resigned within 2 days of the decision being taken by the ANC. And there was somewhat of a smooth transition to the next administration. But here, it's a high-stakes game. And it's a high-stakes game because of all the investigations that are around the Commission of Inquiry and the position of President Jacob Zuma. What do you think the events of the next few days are going to have on this massive investigation that is taking place on the role of the Gupta family?
Well, I think it's going to, they are losing ground and they're getting weak. I think going back to that previous discussion there are the hardcore Ramaphosa supporters and the hardcore Zuma supporters. But there is a third grouping within the ANC that goes wherever the patronage comes from. And as long as Zuma's president of the country, he is still the chief dispenser of patronage. In cabinet appointments, ministerial deputy ministers, in government, and so on. The moment that he's out of that position, I think that third section in the ANC swings Ramaphosa's way, because they're going to want cabinet positions, they're going to want jobs, they're going to want influence, and that's where it's going to lie. So I think Zuma knows that if the second he's out, his power vanishes, and Magashule and Jesse Duarte and all of them will no longer have a person as the pivot around which they are mobilizing. And their power will also substantially weaken, I think, within the party. And for the Guptas, they'll be on the outside. I think they're going to be pretty much hung out to dry.
Natasha, if Deputy President Ramaphosa presents the State of the Nation address as acting president on Thursday, what should his messaging be to the ANC? And it's still a massive political party. It's still the dominant party in South African politics. What should his message be to the ANC and, most importantly, to the people of South Africa who are watching these events with amazement?
I think it should be that the that things are going to be done differently, that the ANC, his message to the ANC should be to put the country first. Zuma created the narrative that the party is more important than the country, and that narrative has taken such deep hold and deep root in the ANC that the ANC survival is more important than anything else, but that's not the case. The ANC is a product of South Africa, so his message to the ANC would be to put the country, for me, should be, that's what I'd like to hear as a citizen, to put the country first, and to South Africans that assurances that the ANC as the governing party will from now on put you first, because the Zuma administration placed the focus massively on the ANC and on the elite in the ANC and on enriching them. So I'd like that to be turned on its head, and I'd like that message to come from the ANC president if he does deliver that sona.
Ray, you've just released a biography on Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa. How does the next chapter look like?
Well, I mean, I think the next chapter is that he becomes president, which I think will happen prior to the 2019 election. And then he's going to have to find a way to take charge inside the ANC, to be a leader of a more or less unified party, while at the same time facing voters and presenting them with a convincing argument for why they should return to the ANC if they've left over the last 9 years. So he's got these two enormous tasks that are sometimes contradictory, because sometimes unifying the party means plastering over some cracks, and plastering over cracks doesn't go down well with the electorate who want to see the Zuma era gone.
Ray Hartley, Natasha Marion, thank you for joining us. This is an incredible week in South African politics, so stay tuned.